Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everyone, I'm JJ Stankovitz, and welcome in to another edition of the Under Center Podcast brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281. On this podcast, Cam Ellis is here, and John Moon Mullen is back, and it sure looks like Mitch Trubisky will be back too. We dive into what we want to see from Trubisky and what challenges the New Orleans Saints will provide the Bears on Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field. All that and more on the Under Center Podcast starting right now.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, the storied franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
All right, so I'm here at House Hall with Cam Ellis and John Moon Mullen, and I think the impression that we all get is that Mitch Trubisky is on track to play Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. That would mean he would only have missed 1 week due to the shoulder injury he suffered against the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, getting to watch him during the open period of practice today doesn't really provide a huge snapshot here on Wednesday, but it does, you know, I kind of had the thought watching him of like, well, if you didn't know he was wearing a shoulder harness and just had this injury, you might not be able to tell. So that at least is a good thing. There are certain things with his movement and his arm motion. He talked about, you know, snap radiuses so he could catch a, you know, maybe a high snap. None of that looked like it would be an issue. The Bears are saying this is day to day, but all signs continue to point to Trubisky being back on Sunday. So with that being said, what do we want to see out of Trubisky? Muna, I'll give you the floor to answer that very broad but important question here.
Well, I think it's a franchise question, obviously, and it's the same one every week. But I would inject with the, as you mentioned, the shoulder harness. He's talking about snap radius. Well, that's, we're talking about shotgun. Having been through a couple of shoulder surgeries, what I wonder is what it's going to be like when he's under center and when the ball kind of arrives a whole lot harder. I doubt that'll affect their offense, but you know, we may see him more in shotgun, and with all the, if that has any ripple effect into the run game, which hasn't been as effective out of shotgun. Anyway, lots of little domino effects, but the one thing we saw last year when he came back from his shoulder injury, he had a really bad game against the Rams, threw three picks, and he's such a competitive guy. The question you have, is he going to try to do too much, was exactly what he did with the Rams. So maybe he's learned something in a year or two.
It's sort of to take the meta route. I almost don't want to see anything when he plays because then you know he's playing healthy. Like, I don't want to see him pull up short or miss a guy by 1,000 feet because it's a shoulder, not just because he does that. But so, yeah, I don't want to see – I just don't want to see hesitation, I guess. That's my answer.
Yeah, I mean, and pain is a funny thing. Even if it doesn't affect you in practice, is it going to affect you? Maybe he, you know, has to scramble once or he gets hit once and suddenly the bolt of pain is there. I mean, it's going to be there. Now, these guys play through pain all the time. I mean, nobody's healthy 3 weeks into the season, so – it's what he's used to and what his competitive fire will push him to.
So what I want to see is how he handles taking that first hit, not necessarily getting sacked or not necessarily taking off, but can he step up in the pocket and feel like he can take a hit from Marcus Davenport or Cam Jordan or these really, really good Saints front seven players? Because if he starts feeling tentative, even if it's just with a guy coming at his face, and, you know, let's say Taylor Gabriel starts running open, you got to be able to step up and make a throw knowing you might take a shot. Can he make that throw? Or is he going to feel like in that moment sort of tense and, I might need to protect my shoulder because it still is sore and I don't want to get hit and make it worse. That is where I think it's still somewhat of an unknown, because last year it was a different injury. It was to his throwing shoulder. But Moon, like you said, he was really bad against the Rams. That is his worst passer rating of his career, 33.3 in that game. He threw three interceptions. Now, granted, he admitted that he was trying to do too much in that game, and he was a little over-amped for it. And I asked quarterback coach Dave Ragone about that this week, about how do you keep him from being too on that emotional side of things, of trying to do too much. And he said, you know, there are certain things we're going to look for, you know, that now we know. We have sort of this baseline. But I think the larger point here is more about this Saints defense is not an easy one for you to return against. They are a really stout front seven, especially their front four. Marshawn Lattimore is one of the best cornerbacks in the country, and it's going to be a difficult task. It's, you know, it'd be a lot better if you could come back and say, all right, Mitch, you're going to face the Atlanta Falcons defense, or, you know, some really, really bad NFL defense. The Saints are not that.
Well, and we didn't ask Sean Payton in the conference call, do you think it'll be a bounty? Whoops, I didn't say that.
Whoa, hey, by the way, Greg Williams, how about that that game he coached against the Dallas Cowboys? Maybe they're, oh God, you already stole the bounty pun. I'm just going to give up on this one. Anyways, though, bounty gate jokes aside, the Saints defense is really good. So I asked Sean Payton specifically about Marshawn Lattimore and what you can do when you have a corner in zone, because they run a lot of zone, which, Mitch Trubisky struggled with zone in his career. And B, Lattimore is a guy who Payton said, because of his coverage abilities, you might not need to have a safety over the top on him, which that means you bring that safety down into the box, which means it's harder for the Bears to run the ball. And it was funny when I went up to Taylor Gabriel and just was like, hey, you know, I know they're playing a lot of zone and Lattimore has been really good. He goes, man, yeah, I wish they'd play more man, you know, so we could maybe try to get some shots downfield. And that's just sort of a, you know, zone prevents that. And when you've got a guy like Marshawn Lattimore, who's probably going to be shadowing Allen Robinson, even in zone, which Gabriel said is, you know, a pretty foreign thing, that's going to make it so much more difficult. If Trubisky comes back, all of a sudden Allen Robinson's taken away, they're playing zone. How does Mitch Trubisky handle that is going to be the biggest key in this game on Sunday.
Has Taylor Gabriel been asking teams to play man for a year and a half now? I feel like
I
feel like every time I talk to him, he's like, can you just like tell the other team to play man? And it's like, no, I can't, Taylor. I'm sorry. I sort of am taking a different approach here, where I think there may be some passing yards to be had against the Saints. They're like 18th in pass DVOA. They're sort of middle of the road in pass yards per game allowed.
They're 21st or 23rd in average passing yards per play, 7.2.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, none of that matters if their front seven gets to Mitch, because obviously, but I do think that there may be some yards to be had there. I don't know how you go about this, because he has not ever shown a lot of he's not shown a lot of good throws in pressure. So that's going to be, I think that's going to be like what makes or breaks this game.
You know, even going back, this is unfortunately for the Bears, I think a recurring theme. The question I raised back in August, is the NFL on to Trubisky and by extension Nagy? Well, to that end, they know he doesn't do as well against zone. You know, I think he likes the guy, he knows his receiver is locked up with one guy, and I can judge whether he's really open or not. With a zone, not so easy, because he's moving from one player to the next, and it would be funny to think of somebody in the NFL playing like a box and one or something like that, where you just have Lattimore follow A-Rob anywhere. But you raise a great point about Gabriel's better. He's a little guy and he's fast. I want him one-on-one with somebody, but they're not going to give it to him. I think they know what the Bears can or can't do, like or don't like to do, and I think that's the kind of thing where they're going to have to scheme these guys open to help Trubisky out.
DJ Chark, 2 catches on 6 targets, 21 yards, 1 interception. These are all when guys are matched up against Marshawn Lattimore in the last 3 weeks. So Chark, one of the better receivers in the NFL this year, didn't do anything. Lattimore again picked off a pass there against Mike Evans. Mike Evans was only targeted once when Lattimore was in coverage. Lattimore broke up that pass. Chris Godwin, 1 of 1, 14 yards. I mean, Evans and Godwin, two of the best receivers in the NFL on the same team in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Amari Cooper, 4 of 7, 39 yards. He had no yards after the catch. Lattimore broke up two passes. Now, granted, before that, Lattimore was picked on a little bit in the games against Los Angeles and Seattle. He did not do very well. I believe in the game against Los Angeles, Jared Goff had a perfect passer rating when throwing at Marshawn Lattimore. So clearly the answer for all the Rams' offensive problems is just get Marshawn Lattimore on the field, because that makes sense. But I do think that this is among the many issues that the Saints' defense presents. This is one where I'm looking at it and I'm going, man, this is going to be a tough game for Mitch Trubisky. And before we continue with talking about how this will be a tough game for Mitch Trubisky, a quick reminder, fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years. Anyways, with Trubisky, the other part of this that I think we want to get into is the offensive line could theoretically solve a lot of these issues. Mitch is going to have a much easier time picking apart zone if he's not having to – should. Good point, Moon. Should have an easier time picking apart zone if he's able to go through his progressions and he's not worrying about pressure from the back or pressure up the middle, which the Saints are really good at those two things. A lot of this is going to fall on the O-line and how much better they can be in this game.
I think maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit by assuming that Mitch can go through his progressions with a good offensive line, but I
should.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that they've been talking all week about how Coward's going to add athleticism and they're going to try and get more push. I mean, it's possible that they figure out the cohesion and the communication stuff and you get what last possible. It's possible. Everything's possible right now in the coat closet. You wonder. I've go back to this. We've talked about this, I feel like, in the last three pods, is that what is different about the last 10 days that the last year and a half hasn't already happened? I appreciate the new enthusiasm. I appreciate the new optimism, but I just don't understand what happened in these last 10 days that's going to change the direction that the last year and a half has been set forward.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it have a little bit of feel like what we were hearing training camp? It's the same. Okay, well, good. We haven't been beat up by anybody, so I guess we're actually pretty good. Yeah. And, you know, I think there is a holistic aspect. You know, Cammy mentioned, I need to see anything out of Trubisky. I mean, I don't want to see manifestations of the injury. But one of my strongest feelings is their problem in the run game is not the line, which is not good, but it's because their quarterbacks don't require a secondary to really worry. And I'm not sure this will be the time to do it against Lynch or Lattimore. And, you know, it is going to fall to either Daniel or Trubisky, assuming Trubisky, somebody to make the secondary respect their passing. That they're a pass-based team, and that's not a strength. They don't have a strength now, which is something, you know, they don't have an identity or a strength. But I think this is where they can't just rely on the run to help out their injured quarterback. They couldn't help anybody out before. So there's a holistic aspect to this that he has got to deliver. So give his line a chance, too. They're symbiotic here. So, and I've just done a piece on tight ends. I mean, they have got to get something. They're playing shorthanded. They're playing with 10 men, basically. And they cannot do that against good defense, as you said, JJ.
Moon, your column on the tight ends was really, really good, really important. Because, like you wrote in there, you're paying a tight end. He's, what, the eighth highest paid tight end, Trey Burton, in the NFL. You have a former second-round pick in Adam Shaheen. And you are – I mean, they're invisible in this offense. And Burton is supposed to be one of those adjusters in this offense that helps out Trubisky read the opposing defense, make the right check, all those different things. But if Burton's only catching three passes or whatever it is for 16 yards – he's not doing that. And Shaheen, the fact that he's barely on the field, I know we've touched on this before, the fact that they're barely using him is a sign that they don't trust him as a pass catcher or a run blocker. They just don't trust him at all. And you're absolutely right, Moon. This is a holistic situation for this offense. It's not just Trubisky. You know, I think the only guy we've talked about being exempt in this is Allen Robinson. But it's not just Mitch, but also at some point, Mitch needs to cover for the other guys. You don't draft the quarterback second overall for him to not be the guy who can paper over some of the issues, whether it's with the offensive line or the run game or Anthony Miller not getting going or the tight ends being invisible. You got to get that out of your quarterback, and you need to help your quarterback. But Deshaun Watson's had an awful offensive line almost the entirety of his career in Houston. Even with the Laremy Tunsil trade, he's still pretty good. He's still very that much in the MVP discussion. By the way, real quick before we get back onto the Bears, I just had this thought pop into my head when I was driving up to Hallis Hall. Patrick Mahomes was the MVP last year. There's a good case to make Deshaun Watson the MVP this year. Okay, we won't go there. Anyways, back to the Bears and how they...
Trubisky will be the MVP the year after that. It's going
to
go...
There you go. 1, 2, 3. But, okay, back to the real point here about, Trubisky needing to be that guy who can cover for everyone.
And we talked about this, JJ. We there's so much made, and it was going back into the Cutler days. Well, you got to surround him with weapons. Well, yeah, but there is at some point... It's up to number 10 to turn average players into weapons. We got to invert that at some point. I always say, how many people can name, other than Randy Moss or Troy Brown or Julian Edelman or Welker? They've won a whole bunch of Super Bowls. Give me three other receivers that Tom Brady has played with. Good luck. So he needs to turn guys into – they can't keep upholstering the offense with people to make him look good. He's got to start making Taylor Gabriel look good. He's got to make those throws to Allen Robinson when he's NFL open, not college open. So I think this is where I keep going back. Their quarterback has not been good enough to lift this team, and he was drafted to be that.
And this is, I think, this game more than any other one so far, at least, is when you see what they have in their second options. Because teams have had 2 weeks now to listen to everyone say, Allen Robinson's having a great year. Look how good Allen Robinson is. Right. And I think this is probably the first. Lattimore is the highest quality of corner that's just going to blanket Allen Robinson they've seen this year yet. And today, Anthony Miller was talking about how he feels most involved and most impactful when he gets those volume catches. And I know every wide receiver loves volume catches early in the game, but I mean, you're going to have to get Anthony Miller more involved than four catches. You're going to need to get Trey Burton a pass or two. You're going to need to get Adam Shaheen a pass or two. Like, this game, I think more than anything, is the one where unless Allen Robinson just goes off, it's going to be Robinson has three catches for 17 yards or whatever, while the right, exactly. Someone else is going to have to put up 7 and 95 or whatever it is.
Right, and that will not mean that Allen Robinson had a bad game. It means he gets the Saints said, we're taking you away because who else are you going to throw the ball to? So, yeah, Gabriel's going to have to find a way to get open. They got to find some zone beaters for Tariq Cohen because that dude should not be averaging 4.5 yards per touch, which is just absurd. That also, I think we talked about that on last week's pod, Cam, that really does that's the one where coaching needs to be better more than almost anything else. But, man, I mean, this you look at, to the Saints front, to go back to them real quick, Marcus Davenport is averaging a pressure on, I think it's 9 snaps, every 9 snaps, which is the highest rate in the league, better than Khalil Mack, who's number 2 on that list. That front gets after you. Cam Jordan's one of the more underrated linemen in the league, a guy who can play really well against the run and the pass. This is going to be a test for the Bears O-line, for Mitch, for the receivers, for the tight ends. And boy, if they don't pass it, I don't know. This team, I know what we're going to hear after the game if they don't. Well, we were 3-3 last year. Okay, you had the Jets and the Bills and the Lions following that, three really bad teams, and yeah, you won all those games. But you have after this a Chargers team that I think the Bears will beat, struggling. Go on the road to the Eagles, tough place to play, still a really good offense there. And then you get the Lions at home after that, and the Lions are not looking like a pushover this year. So it is not going to be the same situation if the Bears do fall to 3-3.
No, it's funny. You nailed it. It's exactly what we're going to hear if they lose. We were 3-3 last year, but a great point is you lost to the Little Sisters of the Poor in St. Vincent de Paul Society those two games. And to your point, Cam, there's really every game is there. Only 16 of them. So everyone becomes a test kitchen for something. And every week it's the ultimate game, and we do. But that's really the way it is. And with Trubisky now having time to gestate or get back into some kind of swing, they're kind of out of excuses. And including the coaching staff. They talk about self-scouting. Well, you guys have tendencies, too, that very clearly – people know about him. We go back to Tremont Williams going, as we just wanted to make Mitch play quarterback. You think that's changed? I don't think so. So it's going to be up to partly to Mitch to be more than that, but it's also going to be up to his coaches to get him to a point. I think he's got – you guys are around enough to see the same thing. He's got a lot of respect for his teammates. This is a well – this team likes each other. Yeah. And the fact he's playing and hurt, I mean, he wanted – almost – like we said today, I wanted to go back in the – well, it's my left shoulder. I can go, yeah, I got a right arm. I can still play. You know, that kind of stuff resonates with players. So there this won't be a cohesion problem. But at the same time, if you want people to believe in you, you got to start delivering. And that's going to start Sunday.
It's just daunting to know that to win this game, you probably need a guy who doesn't – chuck the ball very well to come off of a dislocated, we don't know what it is, but whatever, a dislocated shoulder. and he's going to have to beat them. Like, maybe David Montgomery finally gets 120 yards on whatever, but I don't see that happening. I don't see that front letting a anemic Bears rushing game already figure it out. And it's just, I don't know. It's a daunting proposition.
I think the worrying thing is you need an offense. You need players on offense who have not done it this year to do it now. I mean, outside of Gabriel, if we're just sort of saying, well, Robinson probably isn't going to have a big game, you know, Gabriel might need to have another game like he had against Washington, or Miller might need to do something we have not seen out of him consistently this year. Same with Cohen, Montgomery, Burton, Shaheen, Patterson. I mean, even on the line, Leno, Daniels, these guys, whoever's going to play right guard, whether it's Coward or Bars or Larson, I mean, we have not seen it. And that, when you're going up against a Saints team that's 5-1 with a backup quarterback largely getting those wins, I mean, that is a daunting proposition. But it's also one where, on the flip side of it, if the Bears come out with a win, this is going to be a really damn good win if they are able to pull it off.
You know, here I give you guys a question. Okay, you're the D coordinator. You're playing the Bears. Would you shut down Robinson, or would you say, you know what, if he goes off and gets 9 catches, nobody else in this team is good enough to threaten. Let's let him. We'll just single up on him, and we'll shut everybody else down.
I think what they'll do is they'll just have Lattimore shadow him and single him up and just say, you know what, okay, if he goes and he beats our guy, if their best beats our best, that's fine. No one else is going to beat our other 10 guys because we are better matched up against them. I think that's what they do, and that's kind of why I am nervous about this game for the Bears, because I don't see a way that we have seen this year for the Bears to generate yards and generate points. It's going to have to come on maybe Eddie Jackson gets his first interception of the year and takes it to the house, or Tariq Cohen gets another big punt return and gives him a short field, or something weird happens and the Bears are able to capitalize off a short field. Because, man, I mean, sustaining drives against the Saints offense when your longest pass play of the year is 36 yards, which is dead last among qualified quarterbacks for Mitch Trubisky. That is a really, really tough proposition.
Yeah, it's funny. You just conjured back up something. Over the years covering this team, I cannot tell you how many preseasons or the start of training camp pressers. Well, if these four things go right, we're going to be really good. Three of them would go right, or these six things happen and four would go right. Well, that's great. But you're really asking, as you say, JJ, guys to be – somebody's going to have to do something they've never done before. That's really asking – that's kind of unrealistic. Mm-hmm. So you just sort of feel like, well, they'll beat the Saints if Mitch can be better than he's ever been before, other than a game here and a game there. Or if Taylor Gabriel gets the man-to-man coverage and finally lights it up. Well, okay. But, you know, relying on people to do something they've never done before, good luck with that. Let us know how that works out.
And at least for me, it's that sort of stick that's just sort of wearing thin on me on a day-to-day basis. It's just that I just refuse to believe that this offense is a hat placement away from exploding. Or there's just – it'd be one thing if they had the highest graded offensive line and there were pass blocking and run blocking and the receivers are going off and it was just Mitch not throwing it or one specific thing. Everything is not good about this offense. And so I just – you watch it and you go, how is this offense a quick tweak, a bye week tweak away from lighting up the league? I just don't see it.
Hopefully, for Bears fans, they will see it. Because if not, you know what you might be wanting to do next week is tuning into our Bulls coverage. because, hey, the Bulls regular season's coming up fast. We've got a lot of really good stuff on our website. Casey Johnson joined us, and Jason Goff is now going to host our pre- and post-game shows. We've got the Bulls Talk podcast you're going to want to subscribe to wherever you get this podcast, wherever you get your other podcast. We're going to have a lot of really good stuff. Mark Strotman does a tremendous job. We've got a really, really good setup covering the Bulls this year. I'm excited to watch them. Hopefully, though, if you're a Bears fan listening to this, you will not need to resort to hoping about the Bulls after this game on Sunday.
How bleak is that? That's what we're talking about. Hopefully the Bulls are good. Like, they're like a distant fourth right now, aren't they?
Do something they've never done before. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. If Zach LaVine can learn how to play defense or something. Anyways, before we get too deep into that, I just wanted to give a quick plug for our Bulls coverage because I'm very excited about it. Let's kind of wrap this up just with a couple quick thoughts on this game. Alvin Kamara is probably going to wind up being questionable. As I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, man, like they might be missing this great offensive weapon. But I don't know. I feel like the Saints, you still have Michael Thomas. Latavius Murray's looked really good. Even a Saints offense without Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara, still pretty good. Because Sean Payton's the coach over there. You still have some weapons. You still have a pretty good line. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm not walking into this overconfident if Alvin Kamara does not play.
No, and to me, this is a cliche. 99 games out of 100, it seems like, turnover ratio. That, you mentioned Eddie Jackson, pick. Or somebody, that can turn this game. And I think, and not that the Bears have to rely on that, but they did last year. So, and that is something that they have done before. So, that to me will be, if they can somehow pressure Bridgewater and get a pick, get maybe two picks, then I think we're looking, the offense gets a short field, and hopefully they get 7 points instead of three, as the Lions can attest.
I will say, I guess I can't decide whether I want to be the optimist or pessimist today, but I'll always remember this. We were in D.C. after the game, and I think it was D.C., and we were talking to Dan Trevathan, and someone asked him about an offensive player, and he goes, well, yeah, they ain't ever been hit by someone like us before. And I think about that because the Saints, they got the Texans in the first week of the season, but their defenses they played have not been terrific. I think this is the best defense Bridgewater will have seen so far. So,
low-key, the Jaguars' defense is not very good this year.
No, not even – yeah, like they're just like very average, and now especially they're even less that good. But I do think that there's something to be said that this is going to be the hardest hitting, the most turnover – friendly, whatever would you want to use, defense that he has seen so far. And that at home, that gives me a little bit of optimism, I will say.
Yeah, this is not going to be a high-scoring game. I think my predictions are going to lie somewhere in the 13-9 range. I haven't quite figured out who I'm going to take. Yeah, get ready for some real bad football on Sunday. That's what I. But of course, then whenever you predict this, of course the score will wind up being 31-28. Absolutely, Moon. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, we didn't touch much on the defense, but that to me, sadly, that's this Bears team has to deliver with that. I mean, that Matt Nagy was coach of the year last year because of his defense. Yeah. He was an offensive guy. Unfortunately, the Bears are still relying on that as number 10 emerges, and a big picture toward who knows what. But this is hopefully without any more injuries, the stretch where the organization and maybe himself figure out what he really is.
My final thought of the podcast is that not only did the Washington Nationals win one playoff series this fall, but they've won three of a series so far. And if you're listening, I hope you're cheering for them.
Cam is wearing a Washington Nationals hat right now if you want the complete picture of it.
There was a real thought, and then they listen. It's like, well, why is he talking about the Nationals?
Cam was talking to me about how he could potentially make a trip to the World Series work if he, mortgaged a number of paychecks or something?
Just saving, the next six paychecks, I think I'll be able to do it.
Yeah. Okay, that would be reasonable for you to do that. Anyways, what would be reasonable for you to do is to play the NBC Sports Sunday Night 7 game on the NBC Sports Predictor app. There's really no reason not to play. It's totally free and has $2 million in guaranteed cash prizes this season, with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what will happen in Sunday Night Football for a chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to nbcsports.com/predictor now to make your Sunday Night 7 picks. Anyways, we're going to get out of here on the Under Center podcast. Remember, rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to us. Give us a rating, a 5-star rating. We like seeing those ratings and reviews. I will be back on Saturday morning with a podcast. I will be joined by Luke Johnson of the New Orleans Advocate and New Orleans Times-Picayune to preview the Bears-Saints game. Going to have a lot of good stuff. and intel from New Orleans on that. And remember, the Football After Show will also have their podcast immediately following Sunday night's game. That'll be up and ready for you guys. Sorry, that Sunday afternoon's game. It feels like a night game because it's another sort of primetime game. That'll be up for you for your commute Monday morning. You can listen to Lawrence Holmes, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Matt Forte, and Owen Kreutz with their really great breakdowns of that. Also, watch the Football After Show immediately following Sunday's game, and give us a follow on Twitter. I'm at JJ Stankovitz, Cam is at Kingsley Ellis, and Moon, we're going to get you back on Twitter here at Moon Mullen NBCS. Moon's been locked out. You've been locked out of your account for a little while.
You know, when you don't realize you're locked out, I think, how do I only have 10 followers? Oh, wait, what account is this? So, yeah, I'll be back, fans.
Moon will be back with his great tweets coming up here soon, and you can read all of our content on NBCSportsChicago.com and on the My Teams app, which if you have not downloaded it, give it a download. You can get all of our content there as well. Anyways, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to that spiel, and we'll be back with you here on Saturday morning here on the Under Center Podcast.